it's an interesting study because it's more than hockey, and it's almost more than sport. It's just the integration of individuals and how sometimes it works, and then other times it clearly doesn't.
Yes. Well, which I think would apply to basically every facet of human nature, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
You know, pretty much everything on Earth would be explained by that one sentence.
But this one is so much on display for the public, and it's going so poorly.
Yes.
Truly, you wonder, okay, Craig McTavish, you fired the coach. Now you have to make more changes.
I've been listening to my buddy Spec on this subject for how many years now? You know, Mark Spector's been covering this and writing about this dysfunctional organization for, through. I don't have my coach count up to date right now, but you guys can probably help me out with that.
Well, they won the cup in '90.
Yeah.
So let's move forward from there.
Yeah, but if your central organizational game plan seems to be built on nostalgia for a great team of long, long ago, and kind of repurposing people from that nostalgia in jobs that they probably aren't that good at, then it doesn't matter who your coach winds up being, although your coach occasionally winds up being one of those guys. You'd have to get very lucky for that to work. You'd have to get very lucky if it's old home week every week. And I think that's kind of where it starts. Now, that doesn't explain everything, but Kevin Lowe / Craig McTavish now, and again, this kind of the perpetual homage to the Oilers teams that were great, and saying, well, if we put those guys in these places, then eventually we'll be great too. I know that oversimplifies it, but there's an element of that to everything they have done since. And guess what? It doesn't work, or it hasn't worked.
So it's on the owner almost as much as anybody else, right?
I think it is, and I think it is on the owner. I think that's where you have to, because that is where the buck stops here. Eakins in Toronto had a great reputation as an AHL coach. I know he hadn't coached in the NHL, but everybody I know who dealt with him, thought he was perhaps a little bit cocky, a little bit overconfident, but, Lord knows there's been some great coaches who have been exactly that. But everybody thought he had the chops and that he was going to be the next NHL coach, and there were people who lamented the fact that he left Toronto at it when it looked like Randy Carlyle's neck was on the line at various times, because he would have been the bright new era coach replacement for Randy Carlyle, even going back before that with Ron Wilson. So people like Eakins in Toronto a lot, but you threw a guy who had never coached in the NHL in and handed him a roster that does not work, and with a guy who is, has coached but is not an experienced general manager, first general manager's job, again in the midst of what is clearly a dysfunctional organization. The coach is the guy that's going to get fired. Everybody knows that. That's who gets fired. That's why coaches are there. They're the kind of canaries in the coal mine in these situations. He may well have, and he has made some mistakes this year, but you can't look at the pattern with that organization and say, boy, they just keep hiring the wrong coach over and over again. I think that would be a tough case to make.
Can there, and I'm making a point, but I don't know if I agree. Yes, it's been a mess from the top down. But why can't it stop at the players? Why can't there be, it seems to me there hasn't been any, and maybe I'm out to lunch, but it doesn't seem like they've been put their feet to the fire too much.
I guess obviously it is the players in the end, right? Obviously the team's not good enough, or the players aren't playing well enough. Those are pretty, you don't need analytics to understand that. That's probably what's happening here. It's not so either they're not good enough or they are not trying hard enough, right? I think everything has been tried in terms of how you can deploy the talent they have to make it work. And smarter people than you or I have tried that, and it hasn't worked. So it does come down to the players. But those players, that roster is entirely a construction of the guys, of Kevin Lowe's organization, right? They're his guys. So, do you employ a tougher approach with those guys and bring down the whip? Do you try and coddle the guys who have potential to be, who are stars, who have potential to be stars? Do you, But again, I think all of those things, my guess is that all of those things have been done. So, yeah, do they have to make a franchise, some franchise shifting roster moves? They probably do at this stage. You've got to blow something up there. Although we're in a weird situation of blowing up a team that has been constructed almost entirely with, you know, very, very high draft picks and with blue chip young talent. How many times has that ever happened?
Well, it has happened.
Islanders.
Well, but most teams that get blown up are old, right? It's a core group of guys where you say, you know what, these guys can't do it. They're just what they are. They're not going to get any better. We're going to blow it up. You don't usually blow up potential, but you know, potential doesn't win games apparently, and potential certainly doesn't win, you know, get you in the playoffs. In this case,
yeah.
So I don't know. It is a bit of a conundrum because I don't know who you put behind the bench, and obviously McTavish is going to be behind the bench now. But you know, do you really think you could put someone else behind the bench and that these guys would be better?
No.
Well, that's why my point is about the making it.
But what do you do? Like, I mean, you were kind of being...
I was going crazy, but know. I mean...
But here's... Let's just assume, and I'll use Taylor Hall's name. Things are going poorly. Unless you have it in you, it sucks at the rink, we lose again. I'm going to get into my luxury vehicle, drive back to my mansion. I'm making $6 million a year. If the season ends early, I guess that just means more time in Mexico or Turks and Caicos or whatever.
All hockey players make.
I understand.
Money, you know, they make good money or enormous amounts of money. I don't think athletes don't want to win. You know, it's a rare guy that I've met in professional sports who I thought he really didn't give a damn and he was just putting in the hours. I don't think so. I think everybody wants to be on a winning team. It's way more. That's when you start out the first time you play as a kid. That's what you want. You know, that's part of what drives you. So I don't think they don't care. I think you can get cynical as an athlete. I think you can decide the people I'm playing for are idiots. I think you can say if we tank it a bit, they're going to fire this guy, and then we'll try. You know, that's happened. I think that's what just happened in Ottawa a bit. I think they wanted to get the guy fired, and they did, or some of them did. But I don't think that kind of complacency, I don't think you can become that hockey player and be that complacent. I just don't. So, you know, this is a debate that's looped around in Toronto for years. You know, are these guys too comfortable? Are they not accountable? Do they get treated like heroes just for putting the uniform on and skating out there? Are they not motivated to get better because they don't really have to get better to live their lives? But I just think if you're an athlete, something inside you says, man, I want to win. This sucks. You know, I don't want to skate off the ice after another loss. I don't, especially a young player. I just can't believe that. Maybe I just don't want to believe it.
Well, maybe
I'm just sounding like a fanboy here, but
you know what it is?
I would hate to believe that.
But we're at that point where you have to bring in just about everything into the equation, because it's not the coaches, it's not the building, it's not, you know, is it wet, the conference, all. Hey, this has been going on for so long.
That's what I say, because I go back to playing when I was on teams. We didn't have – we always had a goalie. So, I mean, I don't think their goaltending is as good. But they don't compete. They don't. They don't go the extra mile. They don't work that hard. They don't do that desperation, I want to win at all costs. I am uncomfortable with these losses. This does suck. I want to make a difference. I don't watch them every game, but boy, the little bit that you do, I mean, the Flames go in there early in the year and they outcompeted them.
Well, I'm going to say you guys have been watching a team this year that by and large has had a really high compete rate, right? So that's –
And does that not make up for a lot, even in the NHL?
It can, to a point. You know, it can get you to a point. And you know, and again, it's what it's about a culture, right? That is about the people buying in and working hard, even when they might understand in their own heads that they're out-talented most nights. You know, you can kind of create that us against them, you know, the underdog, plucky underdog thing. I'm not sure that wins you Stanley Cups, but it can make you better than you are. I absolutely agree with that. I think it's tough to maintain and sustain it over a whole season. And I also agree that defeatism can creep in. That, you know, you can, I assume, and again, I've never dressed for an NHL game. You have, but I would assume that there are times when you go in there and when you're lacing up your skates, you understand, you know what, we're going to lose again. You know, if you're playing in front of Dominic Hasek, Maybe you never think that because you think, man, even if we kind of suck tonight, he might save us.
But have you worked in an environment, Steve, where the atmosphere has been so toxic and you're around some other people in the workplace
yep.
where things aren't good and everybody, they hate their boss and you know what? I'm getting out of here. I'm going to find a different job. You hate going to work every day. I think we can all relate with that.
Yeah, no, we can all relate with that. And we've all had bad bosses, or we've had guys that we demonized as bosses. We've all done that. And we've all been in places where we felt like, you know, and it doesn't take everybody to do that. It takes just a few people to drag that kind of culture down. But in the end, you know, again, I still, do you really think that that Taylor Hall skates out with, you know, visions of beaches in his head in the middle of a hockey season?
The only reason I bring that up is because it's the younger guys.
Yeah.
That's the only reason I bring that up.
I guarantee you that's not what he skates out there with, but I'll guarantee you when he goes home, he's planning a trip. He's going on the internet going, April 5th, we're done.
I just think it softens the blow a little bit.
Look, it's not life and death for anybody, right? Yeah. Like, let's face it. They're all, you know, that's just the reality of this. And I do think, you know, I'm sure everybody that's not in the playoffs is playing golf 2 days later. But, okay, so you tell me then how you fix that. You know, and how do you do it without getting hosed, trading away young talent.
Well, and that's why I was saying I was being over the top, but I do believe that. I do believe that. You know what? If it's going to be if you guys are going to stink up the joint and not give us that extra effort, I as a coach only have a few things that I can do. I can control your ice time. I can take you out of the game. I can make it uncomfortable for you. That's it. I mean, I can't take away your paycheck.
No. Nope.
I can't take away your lifestyle. I can't get you traded. I can't. But I can make it miserable for you. And if you don't want to work, guess what? That's what I'm going to do.
So who's going to get that ice time? And who's
what difference does it make in Edmonton right now?
Well,
I can tell you right now, as a fan, you got to think that an Oiler fan would rather watch a kid from Oklahoma come up and work their tail off. It's what happened here in Calgary. We traded Iginla and Tange and Regier and all the...
Yeah, different end of their careers, though, right?
Yes, but...
And if you trade these guys now, which you can't trade them now...
I'm not saying trade. I'm saying stick them in the press box.
Well, you know, I guess. I think, unfortunately, the way the cards have been dealt here, you have to... And I'm not sure that works, but... I'm not saying don't try it. I believe desperation. We're way past desperation here.
Yeah.
But you have to win with the cards you have been dealt here. Realistically, in the NHL, you can't say we're going to redo this because you've been redoing it for quite a while now. You know, you've already taken it down to the wood. You've already drafted number one. You've already done all that stuff people talk about, saying now let's just give up and we'll do a 5-year rebuild. You know, this is a perpetual rebuild. So. You kind of have to work with what you've got. You can't get value back for these guys. You're not going to get what you think you're going to get back for them. So, I think that all of those arrows point to the front office. They don't point behind the bench. They point on the bench, of course, because the guys there have to deliver. But I think every one of those arrows points to the front office.
They're just missing Messier. That's it, Steven.
Greatest leader in hockey history.
Yeah.
Isn't that right? That's the trademark, isn't it?
That's right. Yeah, greatest captain ever. They need some leadership.
Ever, except in a couple of places.
Yeah. Get him a job!
And for a bunch of years in New York when they didn't win anything.
Yeah. Hey, as always, Steve, great stuff, man. We'll talk to you later this week.
See you, boys.